Let's bring in Curtis Larson. He covers soccer for the Toronto Sun. Toronto FC 0-0 draw in Columbus last night. And Curtis, before we talk about the soccer, Ashley Docking wants to talk to you about the Columbus fans and the witty display the Columbus fans put on last night.
What's up, Curtis?
All right.
I think
I'm good.
Thank you. I'm good. I think the funniest one for me, I'm sure you heard of them, the Timbits are overrated. Vermont has better maple syrup, which I think stings a little bit. And that Degrassi was just an average TV show. I mean, they're all false, but which one do you think was the most creative, Curtis?
Well, first of all, as an American, I can kind of speak to that a little bit in that I kind of agree with all of that. Timbits, pretty average.
Oh my goodness. Is it just because of the name?
Well,
you guys just call them donut holes, and we've like branded them and made them a bit more special.
Yeah, donut holes, you know, but the maple syrup, I mean, Aunt Jemima, that's my favorite.
That's not even syrup.
Get him off the line. That's just molasses.
Plus it's racist, Aunt Jemima.
All right, I'm not going to go
We're
there.
We're learning a lot about you today, Curtis.
I like their syrup.
Okay, all right. What about Degrassi, though?
Degrassi, I don't know. The only thing I know about Degrassi is there used to be a rapper used to be in it who kind of changed his whole complexion and did the whole, changed up everything about himself. So I found that a little bit odd, too.
Yeah, it's remarkable. We were talking in the hub before he went in there, and I was telling people Degrassi is huge in the States. I mean, it's still in some of the, you know, Nickelodeon, some of those networks still have Degrassi. Anyhow, we'll move on from that.
All right.
Toronto FC, look, they're saying it's mission accomplished. You've been around this team as long, if not longer, than most people. Can a team that doesn't have Sebastian Giovinco and Josie Altidore look at a 0-0 draw in the first game of a two-legged playoff in the other team's facility and go, yeah, it was mission accomplished? Do you think they're accurate in saying that?
Yeah, I think so, just because of the way they set up. I think they knew how they wanted to go about the game. Playing in that 4-1-4 kind of tipped everybody off, 4-1-4-1 with only one striker.
I want to interrupt for a minute, Kurt. Has Greg Vanney, before settling on the 3-5-2, had he used 4-1-4-1 much in his time here?
I'd never seen it in the last few years, so it kind of stunned everybody. And also kind of points to the fact that this is a team that continues to win games in different ways, can play in a lot of different ways, and it's what's made them so special over this run of, you know, acquiring the most points in a season. Because quite frankly, he played TFC. You don't know how they're going to line up. You don't know who they're going to run out, and whoever they run out always seems to get a result.
Mm. And I would think if if Toronto does go on to win this, the return leg, and they play, it looks like Seattle after what Seattle did last night, I would think there might be another method to this madness as well. And it gives Seattle something to think about. I mean, Toronto FC could come out they could come out in 4-1-4-1 to start the final, then shift or fall into a 4-1-4-1. And I mean, it really gives opposing teams something to think about if in a playoff, Greg Vanney, admittedly with, you know, sort of an... In some ways his hand forced by suspensions, but boy, it gives the other team something to think about if the coach is unafraid to run that type of a formation out in the playoff.
Yeah, and I think they've shown ability to score in different ways too, in different formations. I mean, you add Altidore and Giovinco into the mix, you know, last night, and maybe they play the 3-5-2 still, or maybe they, you know, play in something of a lopsided 4-1-4-1, which is what they did last night. Last night wasn't even really a true 4-1-4-1. It was more of a lopsided thing with Justin Morrow playing a little bit deeper and on the left, and Nicholas Hasler playing a little bit higher on the right. It gave Columbus a lot to thinking about. I think that's what led to the stalemate.
In all the talk about Altidore and Giovinco missing the game because of their suspensions, I think a lot of people looked over the fact that TFC goalie Alex Bono was playing in such a big game, and he's so young, and he really stepped up to the occasion. I mean, Columbus, in the first half, they didn't really get a lot of shots on it. I think it was like 4 shots and then 1 on target. And then in the second half, we saw them really step it up. They had 9 shots, 2 on target. But he really made some impressive plays in this game under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I asked Greg Vanney after the game about that, and he basically responded that, you know, one day you're going to realize that this guy's a good keeper, and you'll come to kind of expect him to do that on a game-by-game basis. But if you look at every game they've played in these playoffs, at New York, he comes up with a huge stop in the second half to preserve that lead. And at home, he stops another breakaway to really send them through to the conference final. And then last night, he stands up really tall, and Drew Moore makes that mistake. And it looks like Columbus is finally going to break through, and he makes that save. And credit to Eric Zavaleta for them stepping in and making a second block. And, you know, in these playoffs, it can come down to one play, and TFC made a few more defensive plays last night.
Do you expect to see any different approach from Columbus in Toronto?
I don't think so. That's because I think their game plan was pretty sound last night. I mean, we'll talk about TFC, you know, liking the result and kind of being in charge here. But, you know, they didn't give anything away, and they had a few chances in the second half to take a lead in this series. So, you know, if I'm Columbus, I come in and I look at that, and we defended well, and it's really just going to be about, you know, finishing off the one or two chances they might get in Toronto. So, you know, while Toronto FC's happy, I think, with that result, I also think Columbus is thinking, all right, let's go get a tie. We've done it before on the road in Atlanta, and they've shown an ability to do it.
Right.
With all the talk about Columbus potentially being moved to a new city, it's Texas, I believe, right?
Austin.
Yeah.
Austin.
What is the impact if Columbus doesn't win? Does that make it more likely in the eyes of a lot of people that they will be moved? And if they are successful in taking the whole thing down, will it be more likely that there's an opportunity for them to stay, or is it kind of an irrelevant point?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been, you know, ducking my head here, but I think it's kind of already settled what's going to happen. You know, I don't think Don Garber and the Anthony Parrico are going to come out and made the kind of statements they have if they aren't extremely interested in getting this team somewhere else. You talk to the reporters here in the press box, and they've all said that it's about an 85% chance that the team's going to move. And what it's probably going to come down to is whether or not the Crew ownership can kind of secure enough land space in Austin, because they've already agreed to basically fund their own stadium for $200 million. So if you're making those kind of statements, those kind of guarantees, I think you already have 1 foot in the Lone Star State.
Yeah, and it was pretty pointed, the comments from Michael Bradley, too, after the game, saying that although there is a lot of support from the people that were there, the conditions, and you just see playing in Columbus, he said they really haven't kept pace with the rest of the league. They really haven't grown, even though they were one of the founding teams.
Yeah, I love that from Michael Bradley. He's kind of thrown caution under the wind at this point and kind of fired back at American fans all over the United States.
Yeah.
You know, the same guys who are booing him and all that stuff. And, you know, he's at a point in his career now where, you know, he plays in Canada. He knows he's kind of loved in Toronto right now. And, you know, what happened with the U.S., kind of, he's not sure how he's going to repair kind of that image in the United States. So he's firing back a little bit. He's letting people know what he thinks. And I like that. And he's, you know, he's just speaking the truth. You know, Columbus throughout the year, I've been here now 3 times. The other 2 times, there were, you know, 8,000, 9,000 fans in the stadium. It's just not a good situation, you know, and it's not a big deal if you can get people out to a conference final. It's whether or not you can get people out to a game in the middle of the season when Ohio State's playing on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sebastian Giovinco, Jozy Altidore will both be back for the second part of the final. I'm not concerned about Altidore's disciplinary record or anything like that, but I am wondering if we may see Columbus target Giovinco physically when he comes back. You know, again, obviously they got to win the game, and I would think you're not going to try to settle scores or anything like that necessarily. You want to win the game. But do you expect to see Columbus come out and really kind of lay into Sebastian Giovinco at the start and maybe at least try to throw him off his game?
I mean, definitely not as much as New York did, but I think there'll be a little bit of an element of that. Jonathan Mensah at the back's kind of gets into meaty challenges and is not afraid to get a leg in or a hand in after a play. We saw that last night when he took out Victor Vasquez along the touchline.
Right.
But, you know, Columbus, it's a different team. They don't have those kind of players, a Felipe like New York has. You know, they have Will Trapp, who's more of an organizer and somebody who likes to play the ball. They don't have you know, guys at the back like Damian Parnell for New York who really like to get a piece of everybody after the ball's gone. I think they're going to come in and I think you're going to see them play exactly what they did last night and see if they can withstand the added quality of Jozy Altidore and Sebastian Giovinco.